So I was thinking about Christmas and thinking about just gifts that I've received that I didn't really like. And I can't think of a whole lot, but there's one that really stands out in my mind. When I was a kid, I was probably about 10 years old or so, and I opened up my present, and it was, it was about this big, and it was a box of sugar cones. And I opened it up, and I'm like, sugar cones, that's really weird, what do I do with that? I'm like, thank you, I said to the person who gave it to me. And I'm kind of starting to, it's growing on me very quickly, because I'm like, okay, well, it's weird, it's kind of a grocery item, but I guess my parents could buy ice cream, and then I could have ice cream cones, and so maybe they'll sort of work out all right after all. And so I said thank you to them, and they're like, no, it's inside. I'm like, oh, okay, that makes more sense, and I don't know why that didn't occur to me before. So I opened it up, and it was a sweatshirt, which wasn't terribly exciting because my parents bought me all my clothes, and so, of course, getting a clothing item was like a non-gift, you know. It's like, well, my parents would have bought me this if I wanted it, and so I was kind of bummed by that, and I pulled it out, and it's a cat sweatshirt, and I like, you know, I like cats okay, you know, if you add a little ketchup, it's not so bad, and so no, at the time, I liked cats, and so it was okay, it was a little weird, and it grew on me after a while, and it was fine, but it's kind of hard, because you're faking liking it, right? So it's like, thank you, but you don't want to overdo it, because then you'll get a cat sweatshirt every year, right? So you want to show appreciation, but not like you really liked it. You want to get something different the next year. And so I was just thinking about this, and I was thinking about just with God, and if we ever like give God presents, which might seem kind of weird, but like if you think about people going to church, like just at Christmas time or Christmas and Easter, it's like what's going on there in their thinking? And I think there is this aspect of where it's like, well, I want to do this thing that pleases God. I don't necessarily want to do it every week, but every once in a while, I just kind of want to show him, you know, hey, I appreciate you, and I'm still thinking about you. And it's kind of like giving a gift to God. I was thinking about that, and just, I wonder if God ever gives from us that he doesn't really like, which might be a weird question too. But as I thought about it, I thought of several examples from Scripture. There's, of course, Cain and Abel. If you clear back early in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, it talks about how Cain gave God a sacrifice from the produce of his garden, basically. It's fruits and vegetables. And Abel gave God a sacrifice of animals. And God was pleased with one sacrifice, but not with the other. If you think about sacrifice is really a gift, right? It's something you're trying to give to God. So very early in the Bible, it's established kind of some things are pleasing to God, and some things maybe not so much. And then I thought of the example of Saul, King Saul. There's a story in Scripture where he's supposed to destroy this really evil group of people, the Amalekites. And when he fights them, he's supposed to destroy everything, including all the sheep and cattle, and just completely wipe them out because they're so utterly wicked. And so he goes to battle against these people, and he destroys most everything, but he doesn't destroy all the sheep and the cattle. And Samuel, who was the priest at the time, came up to him after the battle, and he's like, Saul, why didn't you obey the Lord? You were supposed to destroy everything. And Saul's kind of shocked, like, oh, what are you talking about? I obeyed the Lord completely. And, you know, like just then you hear, bah. And Samuel's like, so what's that? He goes, well, yes, of course I did save some of the finest sheep and cattle so that I could sacrifice those to the Lord. And Samuel's like, man, that's not what God wants. He doesn't want your sacrifice. He wants your obedience. And so there's an example where someone gave something to God, or at least said he was going to, and it wasn't really the right thing. The Lord wanted Saul's obedience. And another example is from the New Testament. If you remember, there's a guy named Saul there who later became Paul. And before he became a Christian, he went around killing Christians. And he did this basically in the name of God, thinking, hey, you know, these people are following Jesus, and these are blasphemers, and he didn't believe Jesus was really from God. And so he was going around killing Christians for God. Like, this is what, you know, hey, God, look at what I'm doing. I'm trying to please you. And God's like, that's absolutely not what I want. And so we see these examples of people trying to do stuff for God that they're off. They're really far off. And I think there could be times that we do things for God that are off. And so I just want to share one story with you guys here this morning. Share one story and one verse that goes with it. And it's related to my relationship with my dad. And I want to share that with you guys because I think there's a real parallel between my relationship with my dad and my relationship with God. And you might see this in your own life as well. So I think it'll help us understand how we interact with God a little bit better. So let's just pray. And Lord, we thank you for this time here this morning. Jesus, we thank you for coming down to the earth and just bringing light into darkness. I can't even imagine just how hopeless people must have been before you came. Just trying to earn their way to heaven and just there being no hope of that. Never being able to be holy enough or forgiven or to be able to be in a peaceful relationship with you. And I thank you, Jesus, because of what you did for us, that's all been changed. You brought light and you brought forgiveness. Brought hope. And so we thank you for that. And just pray that this morning, as we just think about our relationship with you, the Father, that you would help us to really be able to have a good perspective of where we're at with you. And so I pray that you bless this time here. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So before I tell you about some of my experiences with my dad, let me just tell you a little bit about him. He was a great guy. He died when I was in my early 20s. And he was just a good Christian man. We went to church every week, usually three times a week. We went Sunday morning and Sunday night, and Wednesday night was either Awana or prayer meeting. And even on vacation, we went to church. I never saw him drink any alcohol, never saw him smoke, never heard him cuss, never yelled at us, unless we had it coming, which might have happened a few times, but not like, you know, in a way where I'm like resentful toward him or anything. He was very kind. He was loving. He would say, "I love you." He would hug us. He would touch us. He was a great guy. He provided well for us. I really don't have anything bad to say about him. But for whatever reason, I was a complete jerk to him when I was in my teens. And I really didn't want to have very much to do with him. And so let me share with you a few stories that give you a feel for that. I didn't want to spend any time with him. He would go out and work on the garden and, you know, "Hey, do you want to come along?" And be like, "No thanks, I'm going to watch TV." Or he'd be watching TV and I'd be like, "I'm going to go hang out in my room, listen to music that you wouldn't approve of," and things like that. He would work on the car a lot. I never really got into that kind of thing. I wasn't very mechanically inclined. And my brother did, so I'm kind of jealous of my brother that he got to spend all that time with my dad that I didn't spend. When I was that age, I ran track and cross country. And my parents sometimes would ask, you know, "Hey, this meet is, you know, 45 minutes away and we'd love to come and watch you." I'd be like, "Yeah, whatever." I'm like, "Well, would you like us to be there?" "Not really." Like, "If you come, that's fine. If you don't, just..." And that was just genuinely my heart toward both of them, I think, was just very indifferent and very different from the love that they showed me. I just really gave them something very cold in return. I wasn't very obedient toward my parents. Just a couple of examples. My dad was a veterinarian, and so he had three business partners. And so he'd be on call like one out of four nights. And when he was on call, I wasn't supposed to use the phone or, you know, just use it for 5 or 10 minutes or something at a time. And I would get on the phone and I would talk for hours, which I have no idea what I talked about because I can't even imagine doing that now. I imagine the people on the other end were doing most of the talking. But I didn't really care. I didn't care. There was a rule against that. I didn't care if I got caught. I didn't care if I had to lie to get out of it. I didn't care if animals were dying because I wouldn't get off the phone. I was just cold toward my parents. And obviously there'd be lots of examples of me not obeying them. Another one sticks out in my mind. I was responsible for mowing the lawn. And so one time they asked me to mow, and I wanted to put it off. You know, I'll do it tomorrow, or I'll do it in a couple of days. And for whatever reason, they were like, it needs to be mowed right now. I suppose they had company coming the next day or something. And I wouldn't do it. And they kept pushing. And so finally my dad went out and was mowing the lawn himself. And my mom is like, Stephen, he's going to have a heart attack. And then how are you going to feel? And I was so cold. I was just like, well, that's his problem. And just really cold, which is really weird because he was such a good dad. I didn't have any reason to be mean or cold or resentful. It was just completely from my side. Another thing that strikes me about my relationship with my dad is I didn't have a heart for the things that he was interested in. He really loved God. I think he really strove to be a godly man. He was a leader in our church, and I think really impacted a lot of people's lives. I really wasn't too excited about church. I remember I would go and our night service, sometimes my buddy and I, we would sneak out of church. And so, you know, be like, oh, I got to go to the bathroom. And wait a couple minutes, and then the other one would do it, and then we'd run off and go hang out at the park for an hour. And then we would wait till after church and then try to kind of, you know, mix back into the crowd and hopefully not get caught. We probably did that 8 or 10 times or so before we got caught. And I didn't really care that we got caught. I didn't really care that I brought shame on the family by doing that. And I just didn't care about the things that they cared about. Another time, I suppose I was in junior high or high school, and I was in a Sunday school class, and there was a young couple who was teaching the class, and they were really nice, and I don't remember what I did to them, but I do remember they walked out of the class, and whatever I said was just like, they were done, and they walked out, and we're all just sitting there like, what are we supposed to do now? And so we just sat there till the class time ended, And then later on, my parents were upset with me. And they're like, what did you say? And I'm like, well, they had it coming. And I said, if you can't take the heat, you should get out of the kitchen. And that was just my heart toward them, toward my parents, and toward authority. And so I think it's kind of fascinating to think about because my dad was such a great guy, and yet I was so cold toward him. And yet, there were certain times when I might go to my dad and say, hey, Dad, can I borrow $20? You know, or maybe kiss up to him a little bit. Can I get something out of you? And as I was thinking about this, it's like, that's how my relationship with God can be sometimes. It can be a little bit distant. You know, like, well, God, I know you love me, and I really appreciate that. Thank you very much. Thanks for sending Jesus and all that. But I want to kind of keep you at arm's length. I don't really enjoy spending time with you. I want to do my own thing and keep you at a distance. And then there are times with following him, obeying God, that it's that way too, where it's like, I don't really want to do the things that you want me to do. I don't really want to come under your authority. I want to keep you at a distance. And then just having a heart for the things that God has a heart for. I think God really has a heart for people. And I can be very much, you know, I'm kind of cold, I'm kind of distant, I don't really care about people, everybody, you know, every man for himself, and I can have that mentality. And then I can go to God with this, you know, oh, hey, God, will you do this thing for me? Will you come through for me in this situation? Will you bless me in this way? So I thought about that, like, man, that's an incredible parallel there. It's like, God's amazing. And loving and kind and gives me all these blessings. And sometimes we can be really cold toward him. So anyway, I was thinking about this whole gift-giving thing. And I thought, if I was 18 years old, I could go back. What would I give my dad for Christmas? When you know all the stuff I just said, what would be appropriate to give my dad for Christmas? Maybe a tie or a shirt. You probably sound like. No, that's not what he wants. What would he want? He'd want my heart. You know, he'd want me to just come and say, man, Dad, I've been a jerk to you for the last 6 years or whatever. and you didn't have it coming, and I'm really sorry. I don't know if I can turn this thing around right away, but I'm sorry. And let's work on things. That would probably go over a lot better than a tie. And so, I guess, same thing with my Heavenly Father. God doesn't want us to go to church for Him. Or to say, oh, this year I'm going to read my Bible for you. But God really wants our hearts. And so, just one verse to look at here for Christmas morning. It's out of Psalm 51. This is after David committed adultery with Bathsheba. So I think his heart's really in a sensitive spot. He says, you're not pleased by sacrifices. He's talking to God. Remember, sacrifices are like gifts that we give God. You're not pleased with these gifts, or I would give them. You don't want burnt offerings. The sacrifice God wants is a broken spirit. God, you will not reject a heart that's broken. Sorry for sin. This guy's coming from the spot where he's committed adultery and murder. And he realizes, it's like, man, if I go before God broken, God's not going to reject that. God wants my heart. And so this morning, I guess I challenge you where you're at. I think probably most of us are, you know, in a pretty decent, respectable spot with God. You might feel like, hey, I'm in a great spot. In which case, you know, for Christmas, just enjoy God. I think God would just enjoy maybe spend some extra time with Him and worshiping Him and praying and spend some time in the Word. But if you're in a spot and you can relate to that story I told about my dad, and you're like, wow, I do that to God, my Father, then maybe what God would want for Christmas would just be your heart. And just to go before Him and be like, man, God, how did I get to this spot? I'm so sorry. And just to understand that God's not going to reject that. That's exactly what He wants. He wants your heart. And so I want to just have about 60 seconds of silence here. And you can just pray and just talk to God if there's anything you want to straighten out with Him. Oh God, you've been so good to me. You've blessed me with incredible riches. You've brought me into your family. You've forgiven my sin. You've treated me like a king. And I thank you for that. And I'm sorry that there are times that I am cold towards you and times I'm not that interested in our relationship and there are times that I'm not that interested in following you. And there are times I don't love people like you do. I can be cold. I'm sorry for that. And I just thank you that you came for just that kind of heart. Jesus, you came because I'm broken, because I'm a mess, because I'm selfish. And you came because I couldn't pay for my own sin. So I thank you, Jesus, for coming. I thank you for living among us. And I thank you for dying on the cross for me. I love you, and I don't always treat you right, but I am thankful for our relationship. Thank you that our relationship is not defined by me and how well I excel at it, but by you and how amazing you are. So thank you for that. And so we just praise you this Christmas morning, and thank you for this time here, just that we can enjoy you. And we just pray all this in Jesus' name.